I was working a cell block, 500 people in a cell block. I had a contract on my life, and someone picked it up and tried to kill me. He didn't fulfill the contract. It was a pretty harrowing experience.
He recovered from his physical wounds. This is Passages, the audio journal where people offer their stories of hope. I'm Dennis Benson. Today, our guest is Alden Gaynor, a prison guard. Alden, in what kind of environment did you grow up?
Lived on a resort. Helped my dad working, fixing up the buildings and repairing sewers and pipelines and all kinds of things. Anything that had to be fixed on a resort, I had my dad show me how to do things once. Then it was up to me to do them because he didn't particularly care to do it. It was a fun childhood. Lived on a lake and did a lot of fishing and enjoyed the resort. Enjoyed school and sports. We lived out in the country, so we didn't get to town very often. And we entertained ourselves. I had a brother that was a year and a half older than I, and he and I were best of friends. And we didn't fight much because if we did, we didn't have someone to play with. So we learned how to get along, and we've always had a good relationship through these 50 years.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, baby, see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. Just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, yeah, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend, when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running.
Went to Northern Michigan University, took a summer job down in Detroit. managing a fishing business and was going back in the fall, but I met my wife and also was offered a better job. Didn't feel I should turn down and ended up the next spring marrying my wife and didn't get back to Northern Michigan University, which was kind of a negative, but it was a positive because I've been married for 33 years to Susan. So it worked out great and we've got two children and two grandchildren. I think God is the focal point to the marriage, and you center your life around God and your church and corporate worship. Also, being understanding to each other and being able to give in to each other when one feels that something is strong enough that the other one realizes that and compromises. But the main focus should be on Christ and His forgiveness to us. And we should forgive each other. And if you can't forgive your wife or your husband, then how can you be married long? That's what we focus on. That's why our marriage has been successful. Working a cell block, 500 people in a cell block, I had a contract on my life, and someone picked it up and tried to kill me. He didn't fulfill the contract. It was a pretty harrowing experience. That was tough, not being able to really share it with my wife because I didn't want her to have to deal with the same issues I was dealing with. Bad enough that I couldn't get back to work, and that again was the hardest thing I went through. And without God's help, I don't think I would have made it. I had a lot of problems with getting back to work, being able to pass a physical, having a lot of problems with the employer. But finally got back to work, and now I've worked my way up to a shift commander, and I really enjoy my work.
And the river opens for the righteous, 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 and the river opens for the righteous. And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday.
The prison atmosphere is a negative atmosphere. It's hard for you to work under God's principles and to be, treat everyone fairly when you know that someone is trying to kill you or someone's trying to harm you or harm someone else. It's a difficult task to go in there every day and look at negative things and try to be positive. Having 1,000 convicted felons and 77 officers to manage and have that on your shoulders every day is not an easy task. I do it because I can be fair.
Welcome to the tight rope between memory and pain.
sometimes it's hard to be fair with officers, especially when they try to defame you. You have to mete out discipline, not only to the residents, but also to officers. So you're put in the middle of a situation that not too many people envy. I think there's a lot of miracles that go on, and that's what keeps you coming back every day. I had one resident that had killed a whole family, a mother and four children, a very young man, 15 years old. Worked with him for a year at the time being an officer, and getting to be able to control his temper, and at the end of the year when he was transferred out, getting a note saying that he thanked me for teaching him how to be a man and not to be impulsive. And I think of how people look at that person and to see what he ended up like after working with him is some kind of a small miracle. But there's many, many thousands of stories.
I feel that I must fight, I cried, but the spirit said no. This time I am right, I cried, but the spirit said no. Righteous anger turned my head, all my thoughts were burning red, to see my enemy lie dead. But the spirit said no, the spirit said no. The need to fight is strong, I cried, but the spirit said no. My enemy is wrong, I cried, but the spirit said no. My faithless enemy broke trust, I'd see him trampled in the dust. God knows that my cause is just, but the spirit said no. The spirit said no. Anger flowed like burning liquor through my blood and my brain. Hatred for my enemy, the need to cause him pain, was my obsession now, my craving. Why look at him standing there? Why can't you see how he hates me? I want to see him dead, I cried, but the spirit said no. You heard the things he said, I cried, but the spirit said no. There is no kind of soul in I, but he's a beast, and that is why I'd see him dead, I'd see him die. But the spirit said no, the spirit said no.
Most of the time when you deal with someone, you don't know you touch them, but you do touch them, especially when you bring up if their faith in God, and do you think that God wants you to be like you are, or do you think that you can change? It's not a concrete thing. Everything is in the abstract, and you hope that you make a difference. And you never know. You never really know if you make a difference. With faith in God, I think you do. And that's the bottom line. You have faith that you do make a difference.
Anger flowed like burning liquor through my blood and my brain. Hatred for my enemy, the need to cause him pain, was my obsession now. Why look at him standing there? Why can't you see how he hates me? I wanna see him dead, I cried. But the spirit said no. You heard the things he said, I cried. But the spirit said no. There is no kinder soul than I. But he's a beast, and that is why I'd see him dead, I'd see him die. But the spirit said no. The spirit said no. I wanna walk the peace walk. I wanna talk the peace talk. I wanna find the freedom in my heart. I wanna walk the peace walk. I wanna talk the peace talk. I wanna find the freedom in my heart.
You're listening to Passages, the Audio Journal. I'm Dennis Benson, and our guest today is Alden DeGaynor, a prison guard. You can receive a free audio cassette copy of Alden's story by calling our toll-free number now, 1-800-772-7171. 1-800-772-7171. That's 1-800-772-7171. Alden, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you want to do something more meaningful with your life. What are your plans?
My wife and I are getting close to retirement. She doesn't work, but she works with me on my projects. We plan on traveling the country, working on church camps, Presbyterian church camps, and maybe other denominations' camps, depending on the need and where we are at that time. We plan on buying a fifth wheel and traveling into the Southwest in the wintertime because we like the warm weather and we like the mountains. But we also like serving God, and that's our number one purpose on this earth, is to serve God. And we serve God now, but not in a full-time way, although I guess you could call working in a prison serving God. But we want to do this. I have been blessed with many talents on fixing things up and being able to purchase items at a reasonable rate. I'm good at purchasing, and I can fix just about anything, except I don't do transmissions and washing machines. But we plan on traveling and staying a month or two in camps and getting people excited about working on the camps. Not only doing it ourselves, but getting other people to help us, and to hopefully they will carry on after we leave.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd a hammer out of danger, I'd a hammer out of warning, I'd a hammer out of love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
Ooh. Yesterday, I came up to Camp Greenwood from my home and decided to put in a window I had purchased, and it's a 5-foot by 4-foot picture window, which I purchased brand new for $65. Again, being able to know how to purchase things, I hauled it about 100 miles, and I had to take out an old bay window, tore that out, tore the outside wall off, and put in new studs and framing, and put the window in yesterday. And today I was going to finish it off, but there was a guy here with a radio show, and I had to go work someplace else on the property. Putting that picture window in took about 4 hours to do without trimming it out and fixing the outside wall. The reason I put this picture window in is because we have a beautiful setting here, but there was a small windows that didn't give a very nice view of the lake. What I'm doing is fixing this cabin up for clergy so they can come up and be chaplains for the week. And so we've decided to put a picture window in, and we put in a queen-size bed. Also, we're putting in new ceilings insulation, so that it makes it comfortable for clergy when they come up to spend a weekend or a week.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It's kind of come 360 degrees, fixing up a resort, now fixing up church camps. And my dad was a violin maker, a genius, an artist. He at the time didn't know it, but he had inspired me to do these things, and I'm sure he's watching and probably nodding his head like you are. I wish I could tell him.
I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. Think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years.
And I think that's something we should all encourage our children to do while you still have a father and while you still have a mother. Tell them how important they are. There's so many that go without saying, I love you, or I really care, and I think that you've taught me many good things, and I really appreciate you being my mother and my father, and I appreciate you teaching me a relationship with God, because God is, you know, our focal point. Without him, we're nothing. I can't emphasize enough telling your parents and your children and your grandchildren how important they are, because tomorrow you might not be able to say that to them.
My father stands before me in a place that's his alone. I'm guided to the future like half the world to roam. I stand up and I'm counted a million miles from home. I can see forever in my father's eyes. My father sits before me, his hands upon his chin, his fingers touch his lips until my story ends. Patiently we get it straight, the who's, the when's, the why's, truth ever protected in my father's eyes. My father's eyes, my father's hands. Oh, Daddy, quickly pick me up, when will I be a man? When will I live long enough to make somebody buy? When will the mirror show me my father's eyes? My father's resting in a chair in a long, cold winter sun. He falls into a restless sleep, still itching for the run. Well, the arms are thin and the movements slow, but there'll be one more try. Strength has another measure in my father's eyes. My father's eyes, my father's hands. Oh, Daddy, quickly pick me up. Will I be a man? When will I live long enough to make somebody buy? When will the mirror show me my father's eyes? When will the mirror show me my father's eyes?
I lost a son-in-law who I had a good relationship with, and I'm glad I did, because if I wouldn't have had a good relationship, the day he died, then I would have had that guilt to live with the rest of my life. So it only takes a second to tell someone how important they are to you, and that's something we should do.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing a fool? But one thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine.
Alden, a man of compassion, courage, and faith, we pray that God will bless you as you face the difficult passage points in your life. You can receive a free audio cassette copy of Alden's story by calling our toll-free number now, 1-800-772-7171. 1-800-772-7171. That's 1-800-772-7171. Passages is written, produced, and hosted by Dennis C. Benson. The associate producers are Greg Hartung and Bill Wolf. You can now hear the daily version of Passages on the Internet at our website, www.passages.org. www.passages.org. That's www.passages.org. Passages is a gift from your Presbyterian and United Methodist friends.